Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. I am Darren Karp here with John Thrasher to all of our people out there. This is Snoopy, that's Magic. It's all very exciting.
These are our radish
Today, these
lamps.
are our radish lamps. Today, we're actually covering, I want to get right into it because I'm so
Yeah,
excited
let's
about
do it.
this. We're covering the Sherry Papini doc, Sherry Papini Caught in the Lie, which is on HBO Max. It is a four-part documentary. Just jumping in kind of right away. I had pitched this to you, I believe, a couple weeks ago, and you were like, great, we had already recorded our case for that week, so we kind of had to wait like a week or two before we could do it. But anyway, I every time I bring a doc to you, I feel like you come with skepticism and rudeness.
Oh,
And
interesting.
yeah, and this one, I said to you, let me watch it first, or let me like start it and let's see if it's
Oh,
worthwhile to
that's
cover.
right.
Because
Yeah.
anytime it's like, a doc, it might not be worth it. There are some docs that we've thought about
Passed
covering that
on,
at the
yeah.
end that we're just like, there's not enough here to really keep my interest. This one certainly did, and I texted you almost immediately watching half of them. It's four parts, saying it's 100% worth it, and I think we should
Yeah,
cover
you
it.
did.
Now, John thought it was only two parts.
Oh my
I
God.
unfortunately had to tell him it was four
Yeah,
parts.
so I texted Darren, like, I don't know if, like, maybe the rest of the episodes hadn't come out at that point yet. And I was like, yeah, sounds good. It's just two episodes. You know me, I'm not trying to do an eight-part documentary.
Totally manageable.
And then, like, the next day, Darren was like, babe, it's four. And I was like, oh my fucking
Yeah.
God. But four isn't bad. I can do four. Anything more than four, though, is just too, it's a bit much. And I
Yeah.
will say, not to, we'll get into the documentary in a minute. I do think this one could have been cut down to about three.
Three a little bit longer. I actually. As docs go, I was really intrigued by every single
Me
part.
too.
And I thought that
I
every single
was, yeah.
part offered something. And even at the end, when they said, like, this is a four-part documentary. So, like, just what's
Yeah.
happening in episode two isn't necessarily what's going to happen in episode four.
Yeah, please keep watching, right?
And so I do encourage everyone to kind of watch the same part because you are getting a different side of the story. You are getting a different side to Perfect Wife. So,
Yeah. And by the Perfect Wife is the Hulu documentary
Yeah,
for
so I was
those who
going to
don't
say,
know.
like, we wanted to cover this because when I watched Perfect Wife, at least initially, I was like, okay, this is a hoax. This is kind of clearly a hoax. Maybe she wanted attention. Something's going on at home. But I will say, the more that I thought about it, and then with this kind of going on, it just didn't seem as straightforward as it seemed. She would have had to been like really nuts to want to just like create all this chaos for kind of no reason. So I always thought there was
Right.
something a little odd about whatever was going on. I couldn't necessarily pinpoint it. I didn't know what it was. I certainly think she was guilty of something nefarious, but I'm
Yeah.
not sure she was like guilty because she just genuinely was a bad person or like
Right.
something else was going on. And
Right.
so basically, those were my initial thoughts kind of going into
Okay.
this. I was really curious to hear her side, get her to be interviewed. They're not going to make a documentary that's just going to, sidestep some of these things. I thought the doc, I was hoping that the documentarians were going to push and push harder. And so I was cautiously optimistic.
Good. All right. That
What did you know about Sherry Papini
Yeah.
beforehand?
Well, you had sort of summarized the case when you had first brought it, when you first mentioned it to me, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I do. I remember that weird news story from a couple of years ago, well, several years ago at this point." But I never really followed it. I think because thankfully there's not a murder involved. So that didn't maybe click into our true crime radar over the last couple years. But I loved what I loved about this is you kind of pitched it great to, you pitched it great, and I didn't know anything else about it. So I was excited to watch it and just consume what I'm seeing and like making my own distinctions and things like that. There's another one that we did. I want to say maybe Love Has Won was a similar type of scenario where maybe you knew a little more than I did by the time I watched it. But yeah, I mean, we'll get through our thoughts. We're going to go through, I think, like an episode by episode breakdown here of like what was mentioned. And we should, by the way, Darren, as we talk, like explain what the case is and how it happened for maybe those who haven't watched it.
I wanted to give like a quick just background. I
Yeah,
wrote this
good
down
call.
just
Yeah.
because the first episode really just it kind of reintroduces it. The good thing about this documentary is you don't have to have seen Perfect Wife on Hulu,
Oh no,
although I
not at
do
all.
think that it helps because you're seeing
balance.
the story that was put out there for the world to kind of absorb for about, a year at least publicly, because this news came out in 2016. This is when it happened, but like worldwide kind of press was really only last year. So this has been stewing in people's minds for a year. So I do encourage you to actually also watch that, perhaps. But basically, just to give a
And that's
little
on Hulu, you
background,
said, right?
it's on Hulu. But just to give a little background on the case, if you don't mind me, just I wrote some
Yeah,
bullet
go for
points
it.
down.
And
So,
I may interrupt you if we have like if let's interrupt each other.
So November 2nd, 2016, this happens in Redding, California. Sherry went for a run and disappeared. Sherry's the wife. Sherry's married to Keith. Her husband Keith came home and noticed that his wife and children weren't there either, which was a little odd. They were at daycare and she didn't pick them up from daycare. So that's subsequently why they weren't there. Her headphones and phone were left on the side of the street. Some strands of hair were left in the headphones. And the weird thing about the phone, which I didn't actually notice in the original doc, but that the FBI director pointed out in this, or at least the investigator, I think. Said that the headphones were actually kind of almost neatly coiled on top of the phone, and sort of those were left on the side of the road. And we do find out, she's gone. This is sort of what we know, and this is where Perfect Wife kind of takes hold. And that's when, Keith calls the cops and starts to freak out. And he initially demands for the FBI to be involved. And that's really where we see Perfect Wife take over.
Okay, Perfect Wife, the Hulu documentary you're
The
talking
Hulu
about.
documentary,
Okay,
like that's
gotcha.
it, shows him, it's his perspective and bringing everything to kind of the case. So that's what that's covering. So
And
this is
he
just
is
giving
he,
background on it.
yeah, sure. And does he appear in the Hulu documentary, Keith?
Yeah, he's
He
the only one
does.
that does. I mean, he's the of this. So
Interesting.
that's why this is really her response to
Yeah,
it.
because she's heavily featured in this one.
Yeah, and you actually wrote down this wrote down the quote from this
I was just
net
gonna.
from this HBO documentary. This is from Denise Farmer, who was the lead investigator for the FBI on the Sherry Papini case, and she's retired, which also helps because then you can talk a lot more about this stuff.
That's
But she
true,
said,
yeah.
"You don't just drop your phone when you're being kidnapped and coil up your headphones and pull your hair out and make sure it's in there. That was very strange to us." End quote. Obviously, if you're being ripped out, hair can rip, so that never really bothered me, but the coiling of the headphones I always thought were a little odd.
Yeah. And I don't know about, we're going to focus on the Max documentary, and maybe this was in the Hulu one, but in the Max documentary, they show the crime, well, the photo, what they thought then was a crime scene photo of the phone. And yeah, it just looked like almost like someone just like cut some hair out and like put it in between the
Yeah, it didn't seem
headphones.
to
And
be
I'm like,
like, I'm thinking
not
if she's
natural.
getting, yeah, I'm thinking if she's getting captured, to have the wherewithal to know everything about your phone, like your phone's probably dropping and cracking and breaking or something. There's going to be some sort of disturbance. It was neatly placed there. Now, I will say in this documentary, it says that the FBI was searching her phone and they found a number of male numbers under female names once they cross-referenced with a lot of this stuff. And that's what they had told Keith, but that's what the FBI had told Keith. And this was sort of one of the reasons that he got a postnup, because apparently she had been known to kind of have these emotional affairs, I'll say that. Or, yes, I don't think there was anything physical. I felt like he had a lot of control over her, but
From what it sounded like,
emotional relationships for sure.
I want to talk really briefly here at the top about this burner phone that she had, because she had this burner phone that was separate from her main phone that I'm assuming Keith may have had a lot of control over or whatever, especially after realizing she had a history of apparently having emotional affairs, if you will. But it's interesting because at least in the Ma and I know we're I don't want to keep comparing the Hulu doc because we're just focusing on the Max one, but it's interesting because they had her phone, this burner phone. They realized that she had other numbers, like you just said, saved of
Female
men,
names, but
female
they
names
were
and
really males.
exactly. But they never talk about text messages, which I thought was really interesting because I would imagine if you have a burner phone, you're probably text messaging more than you are having phone calls,
But I don't think that
right?
you can, but I think the point of having a burner phone, because it's like very low, I don't think that those are on some sort of cloud. So I think that they don't have access to those in the same way.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's a good point. Yeah, like maybe
Yeah, I
just
mean,
like iCloud on
they
this
do
burner phone.
talk about messages that were sent between. Sherry talks about it, that were sent between her And her ex subsequently
James, we'll
is what
get
we
to.
learned, James.
Yep.
But yeah, I
Okay.
think that right now they were just kind of trying to see like what's up. And
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Keith, obviously, from what we know, this seems very scary to him. His wife's not there. His phone is ripped out. He doesn't really know a lot. And so he's panicking. He's bringing in the FBI. There's a lot going on. He's really using the media
Yeah.
to go on air and say, bring her home safe. That could be construed in two different ways. In one way,
Right.
it's a grieving husband who's like, bring her the fuck home. We want her to get home. And on the other way, it's like, but are you trying to control the narrative of what really happened? And we don't know. And
And you
so
know, I
that's
had a
what's going
lot.
on.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I don't mean to keep interrupting. I'm just trying to make sure we get
Please.
to everything that we both think. But it's interesting because on the footage they showed on the Max documentary, again called Sherry Papini Caught in the Lie, Keith is visibly upset. Like, there's a handful of times where he's like breaking down and he's really like crying and sobbing. And it did have me think a little bit about the JonBenet Ramsey case, about the
Parents.
Burks, the parents.
Yeah.
Thank you. Being on TV, and like I remember, you know, there's the famous CNN interview where like Patsy's a little bit out of it, but like you don't really see a lot of tears there. But and that's with a young child, so it's just an interesting. I just remember thinking, oh, back on TV, and this person is actually crying and really upset. It's just interesting comparison.
Yeah,
But
and
let's keep
also like
going.
very interesting to get the FBI involved sort of immediately. Like
Right.
why the FBI, not the cops? But
Yeah.
essentially, he's on this search 22 days after Sherry goes
Right.
missing. She is found and she's returned early Thanksgiving morning, which I always think is very interesting. She's 150 miles from Reading. She has a chain around her waist. Her wrists are zip tied together. She's found flagging someone down on the side of
I
the
was going to
road who
say.
calls the police in sort of the middle of the night. She had burn marks on her body. She lost weight and she had a brand on her back of her shoulder blade that says Exodus. They never say the exact passage, but essentially it's like Exodus with numbers. And the FBI references that that passage has to do with like sticks and twigs. And essentially the
Yeah,
FBI was like,
frogs.
we could never really make out the
The
correlation
point of
between
it.
why this was on her back. So they didn't really, they still don't really have an explanation for why Exodus, whatever number it was on there, but it certainly was referencing the Bible.
Yeah, and one other thing here, just to give more of a description, because we see a lot of these, photos of her body is she is completely battered and bruised, almost
Bruised
every inch of
up.
her body.
Bruised
I
up.
think
And I
it's
will
worth
say,
mentioning.
like, it is worth mentioning because I will say that as we talk about this being a hoax, like she didn't beat herself up, right? Like something had to have happened. She's not punching herself in the face. Like you can't really do
Or
that.
her back or her legs. Like, there are parts of the body that are so bruised and
Doesn't mean she
disturbing
didn't ask someone to do it, but she did not do it to
to
herself. So I just think
herself.
that's like important to say. And
Right.
she flags the police down. She tells the police that two Hispanic women took her to an unknown location. They chained her to a rod in a closet, and that's where she stayed for 22 days. She describes everything in this room, down from like this weird shelving unit that they had to the carpet.
The
And
carpet, yeah.
in the taped interviews with the sheriff, she seems kind of almost unfazed and a little odd when she's after she's found. She kind of didn't exhibit this classic victim behavior. That's what they were saying. Like she wasn't. She almost seemed quote unquote normal, especially for someone who had literally been beaten and what looked like tortured and starved for 22 days.
Right.
And the first red flag that they sort of talk about is that it was two women who took her. Women do not generally kidnap. And it does seem weird that two women would take her only because that just so much can go wrong in a kidnapping and get
And
overtaken. It seems a little weird that two women would do this.
yeah, and just to be clear, we're not just opining about this. The FBI special agent that's in the documentary says this. So,
Yes.
you know, this is like statistical data that we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I think two Hispanic women, they were wearing masks. We have the Exodus branding that doesn't make a lot of sense. I think the FBI investigator's gut right now is saying this is a hoax. This is a
Yes.
hoax.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem real. And we don't know what necessarily happened, but it's not what Sherry Papini's necessarily saying. This just doesn't
Right.
seem like it's kind of adding up.
Right.
And I will say, fast forward about 10 months after she's found, Sherry asks for the sketch artist and in order to talk about the kidnappers, and the pictures are released of the two Hispanic women. And at this time that this image, are being released, and it does look a little odd. They also find DNA on her underwear that Cherry was wearing when she was found, which had male DNA on it that didn't belong to her husband, Keith. So that's also, given the fact that
Well,
two Hispanic women
I was just
kidnapped
going to
you, and
say
that doesn't mean that they didn't take you back to something, but Sherry never claimed
there
to
was a
have a
man
male
involved.
there. So that's pretty big.
I mean, to me, the first thing I'll admit, the first thing that came across my mind was, well, could anyone's DNA technically find their way onto someone's underwear? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I'm like, I always use this reference, Darren. I don't know why I just keep doing this, but like, I stayed in your apartment for 3 weeks. Like, my DNA may be up and around your couch. What if
But
you
on
were
my
murdered on your couch?
underwear, I
No, I
don't
know. That's
know.
true.
Like, especially being taken for 22 days to somewhere else, not in your own home, on your underwear. And obviously, like, I guess the assumption there, even though they said male DNA, is that it's sperm. I don't know what it was. Like, if it was a strand of hair, that might not be weird, but if it was semen,
Yeah, they don't specify, but
they
they
don't
do say it's
specify.
just DNA.
Yeah, they do specify it. And anyway, they run through this series of tests. They try to match it through CODIS. If they
CODIS, yeah.
can't, they do this whole long, social media family tree DNA situation, and they find that it's actually matching James, who was her ex-boyfriend before she got together with Keith. Which we do know in Perfect Wife. We do learn that
Oh,
he's
in the other
involved in it.
documentary.
And what's interesting here is that the FBI goes to interview James. And he,
At first, he's like,
well, we
I don't
don't
know who you're
see
talking
him.
to.
It's all behind kind of closed doors. It's hard to kind of tell. I mean, I sort of trust FBI's like ears to this, but yeah, they interview him, claims he claims that she hasn't seen that he hasn't seen her in about 15 years. Says he didn't kidnap her, but he also sort of admits
Eventually,
to say, yeah, he then sort of is like, well, she asked me to do that stuff. I did see her. I was helping her out. I was helping a friend. She was in an abusive situation. She asked me to do all this stuff. And, that's like impossible because that is such a he said, she said. How do you know?
There's no way to know. There
Yeah,
just
like,
isn't.
and I will say that his story does change up after an hour of questioning.
That's when he
He,
starts talking about the branding and
right,
everything.
he admits that he did the burns on her body because she asked him, and it was like a wood burning tool that he apparently bought from like Hobby Lobby. She described that room perfectly. He described that room perfectly. He talks about having a prepaid phone with her, and that's how they communicated. And having a burner phone shows that there was certainly intent and planning of some sort on their part.
And I want to talk about that specifically because they never get around. Tell me if this came up in the documentary you saw on Hulu, which is, okay, they both have burner phones, but where was the initial contact made? Had they always been
Well, I
friendly and texting,
think on this doc, I think she says that
His name was saved.
his name was safe, but also that like someone was having a death in the family, and so they kind of reconnected over that, and that's really how it got started.
Yeah, you're
You
right. I'm
know,
kind of
we're
remembering
gonna
that.
go through episode and episode where we can really talk about the situation that Sherry's in. We're just giving background on what we know, and but they do sort of talk about how I think they had a shared tragedy, and that's kind of how they reconnected
That's
and
right.
started
I'm
talking.
remembering that now. Okay, so instead of not having seen her for 15 years, actually they actually reconnected over what you just said. I'm remembering that. Thank you. And so to me, to your point that you just made, he not only had the burner phone, but the one part of that room that I do think plays in her favor is that there were boards over the window.
Yes, which he claims that she
She
wanted
asked
complete
him to do
darkness.
complete darkness. I'm like, there are, listen, I have blackout curtains. They work wonders. You can be in complete darkness. To me, putting boards up in your own home, I don't think so, Mr. James. And let's also be clear, Darren, really quickly. James has not been charged or convicted for
He
any
has not
crimes
been.
related to this connection to or to this case. And so he is completely innocent. We're just trying to piece some puzzle pieces
It's just
together.
there's a lot of curiosities that it's like he said, she said, there's plausible deniability on kind of every single aspect of this. But when you put all these little details together, does
Exactly.
Occam's razor say that someone's going to board up your own apartment? I mean,
Only
that's also
because,
kind of harsh to board up your own apartment.
of
Like, put
course,
newspaper on the windows or something
right?
like that. Like, it does seem very
Blackout
scary. And
curtains.
so here's the thing. They interview James. He changes the story after an hour. 3 days after this, investigators meet with Sherry, where she continues the same story that she had, that it's two Hispanic women. And the FBI is essentially like, we have male DNA and it's James on your underwear. And she lied to the FBI about this. And that's why March 3rd, 2022, 5 years after her disappearance, Sherry's arrested for lying to the FBI. And that's really why she went to prison, because she lied to the FBI. Now, it's important to note that she did lie to the FBI. And as we'll see, she does admit that she lied to the FBI. But that doesn't mean that she wasn't abused. And that doesn't mean that what happened to her
100%.
wasn't real. And there was a really plausible reason for her to lie, potentially. And so that's where this entire intellectual debate about what's happening and what's being truthful really comes into play. But that's the background on Sherry Papini, at least for the first episode.
Well, I can walk us through a little bit of episode two here if that
Yeah,
works for you.
please.
I love the very first, the opening scene of episode two where the producer says, "You're a convicted liar." And Sherry just says, "Haven't you ever lied?" And it's interesting because I've seen some social media response to this, both in our own groups and on Patreon and outside of it since. And so many people are just completely against her because she is admitting to being a liar. And I just find that interesting.
Yeah, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I mean, I think she makes a good point. Like, has every lie ever been involving police, FBI, and state resources and federal resources to find you? Like, no. But has everyone lied? Yes, 100%. And to say that you haven't, I feel like, is just self-righteous bullshit. I think her point is to try and say that, like, she's human and there's a reason that she did lie. Yes, I'm a liar and this is why I lied. And it's no excuse and I wish I didn't, but this is why, and this gives context.
We'll get into those specific details about trying to just basically survive as well,
Yeah.
which is an interesting conversation. So, you know, she went to jail. She gets out of jail on a $120,000 bond. She moves in with Keith's sister, who was prominently featured as well in these first two
Was
episodes, which
that
I
not
found
surprising?
fascinating.
They did not say that in Perfect Wife.
Oh, really? Okay,
Well,
that's interesting.
I guess she would, she was probably in prison, but I guess, you know, they didn't really talk. I don't remember them mentioning it. I haven't watched it in a year, but I don't remember the sister really being involved at all, which also says something interesting to me.
It does. And you know, the sister whose name I'm forgetting, apologies. You know, she talks about, you know, she doesn't have a great adult relationship with Keith. She doesn't really know him, Keith being Sherry's husband at this point. And you know, the documentary kind of sets her up to be like someone who knew Sherry, and then you realize, oh, they live together eventually. That's fascinating.
Well, yeah, and for her to be out on bail, her husband's not around, right? Keith is not around
That's
helping
right
her
at this
out.
point,
And for the
right?
sister to come in out of nowhere and be like, you can stay with me, either you are none and a saint, or maybe you think your brother is kind of a piece of shit,
That's
and
what I
maybe
was
you think
thinking
that
too.
Sherry has good reason to be doing this.
And to be clear, the sister doesn't really, you know, talk badly about Keith. She's not like he's a monster or anything like
She
that.
basically just says, like, we're not close anymore. I don't really know my brother that well. Yeah.
So, you know, the custody battle, the divorce ensues. Sherry gets a lawyer and finally admits to the truth about what happens, or at least her version of the truth. You know, the lawyers are like, frankly, which are they're also hilarious characters in my opinion as well. Also interesting and I think very relevant to the story as well. You know, they're like, we never really got the complete exact story, but we didn't care. It wasn't going to really make a difference in this case because what they were trying to do essentially was get her a plea deal
Right.
regarding her lying to the FBI.
Because
This
they
really,
she did lie. Because she did lie. I mean, it's kind of like Menendez Brothers, where it's like, no, the question
No,
is
it
not guilt.
happened.
Right.
Yeah,
It's we're not
exactly.
questioning the guilt. We're questioning about, like, now therefore further punishment of what should happen with this person. Was there a reasonable reason to lie?
Well, Sherry eventually claims that she was abducted by James, her ex-boyfriend, and that there was no consent, all of the bites and bruises, everything that happened to her all over her body were all her ex-boyfriend James against her will, or excuse me, against her wishes. And then,
But
you know, go ahead.
sorry, I was going to say, and on the
No,
side of
please.
that, and you might be getting to this, but on the side of that, like she couldn't talk to her husband because he was going to think that she was having an affair with James. And why are you talking to your ex-boyfriend? So she had
Right.
really no one to talk to about this stuff.
Yeah, and that's where we kind of get into the conversation about why didn't she mention this guy to the FBI? And then Sherry says that she was, like Darren was saying, scared and didn't want to anger him. She references that he would be watching the news to make sure she doesn't reference him. And then, yeah, she doesn't want to tell her husband that she was having an affair actually the
Right.
entire time. Which, without getting too deep into that part, this part of the conversation, is something that victims of abuse like this do. And in fact, one of the lawyers, if you watch watch episode two, describes her own sexual assault and how she was basically, you know, held captive in the middle of the ocean on a yacht and was just saying whatever it took for her to get to land and run away. And
And I gotta be honest, that's such a common theme, especially with
it
women. It's like,
is. It
I don't
is.
care
Yeah.
about anything else except seeing my children or saving my life. I
Yeah.
will do whatever it takes so I can survive this. And sometimes that means doing the quote unquote wrong thing. And people seem to forget this or have no nuance with this.
Yeah, I know.
I think
Or
when you're only think
unforgiving of it for somebody.
very unforgiving, I think when you have
Yeah.
to, when it's life or death, you're gonna do anything to survive.
Yeah, 100%, of course. I mean,
Or to see your kids.
or to see your kids, or
Yeah.
to, yeah, just see the next day. Now, Sherry does claim that Keith was extremely controlling and wanted the perfect image. This
Yep.
reminded me,
Dairy.
Darren, of the Gabby Petito situation. It was very
Yes.
kind of similar to their vlogs where, unfortunately, Gabby was, you know, had this perfect little van life with her boyfriend, but then maybe on the side, we're seeing that there's actually a lot of domestic abuse happening that isn't just so squeaky clean. Now, at this point, we learn that Sherry told investigators that she was abducted by two Hispanic women because James's mom is Hispanic and she wanted to clue them in that, you know, it could be a Hispanic person that they want to turn their interest to. We learn a little bit more about that later. We'll save that for episode four. It was actually one of the last things we learned that that may not actually be the
Yeah,
truth.
and I will say watching that, you know, you're going to describe your mom like so that would lead to James's mom, but you have a mask on them.
Right.
Feels like a stretch. It just
A
feels
bit
like
of a
such a big
stretch.
stretch. Yeah.
Right. And then at this point, we actually meet Sherry's therapist, who actually thinks that she's being very truthful. He says that he claims she has a self-defeating personality disorder, that she did not ask for any of this.
But
And
that
at
kind of
this.
led her to the cheating because
Right.
she had
Right.
felt so bad about herself, essentially, and she was looking for attention and validation from her husband who wasn't giving it to her.
Right.
So she kind of had to have an outlet. And,
Yeah.
you know, I think that's a really, I think that's a real thing. I mean, we have a therapist coming on to talk about it. And we're going to get to this later, but it made me think, what happened in Sherry's childhood? Like, this seems like
Me too.
something happened in
Me too.
Sherry's childhood, and they don't mention it yet. They will, and we will. But I was not surprised when I
Right.
learned a little bit more
Right.
about her background. Yeah.
Me too. And we'll comment on that in just a minute. I think that's episode three. But Darren, at this point, I have to say, at this point in the middle of episode two, it dawned on me, I wasn't picking up on this, that Sherry herself was filming the recreations within this documentary. So guys, you know, when you're watching a doc, Snapped or any other one of those shows, you will see actors recreating these moments. And it was right at this time, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, pause, rewind 10 seconds. That is Sherry doing these recreations, which we eventually learn, and is it's a
Yeah.
big process in this documentary, but they don't tell you that really at any point. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting kind of corner of this documentary in and of itself, right? Did you have
Right.
a
They are for
reaction?
they have a real purpose. I mean, I
Yeah.
remember thinking kind of like, oh, like they really got her for long shoots, like to be able to kind of do this and reenact it. But obviously, I they were sort of talking about this as a therapeutic thing, which we'll get into, but
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and speaking of,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, speaking of therapy, we learned that Sherry did EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization reprocessing, which I have heard about before. It's a therapy that helps you sort of almost in a physical neuroscientific
Rewire your brain.
way, rewire your brain so that you can process trauma and other problems, frankly, in a healthier, more almost like realistic way. Obviously, I'm not a psychotherapist, so I can't, I'm not claiming that I know every detail about that, but that's essentially the gist about this. And her therapist said that it actually worked. You know, this worked for her. He's noticing success in her reprocessing of this trauma. Now, I think that her therapist was very credible. What were your thoughts about him? He seemed very like academic and scientific in nature as he was talking about her.
Yeah, I think what I liked about him was that he was her advocate. He was the only one
Right.
in the documentary outside of her who was like, no, there's a reason for all of this. Like,
Right.
yeah, she is that way, but there is a reason for all this. And so I think that was really important to get from her side, like, because she is a human being at the end of the day. And I think she wants to be a really good mom. You know, it's hard to tell with like the he said, she said, because it's all kind of alleged. But
Right.
you know, she I think there is something, especially with women, who I think, you know, how do I want to say this? You know, like they go to a party by themselves, they get shit-faced drunk at a bar, and they end up getting raped, taken home, raped, taken advantage of, or something. And I think they're not asking, you know, people are like, well, why'd you go do that? Put yourself in an unsafe
In your
thing, or wear
situation,
that
right.
short dress at a bar by yourself. And like, all of that's valid and true. They're putting themselves in a horrible situation. And I think the other part is, why can't I have a good time the way I want without the fear of getting raped? But I think
Right.
mentally, for the woman who does that, even though they know that they didn't ask to be raped, they didn't want that, I think part of them feels so much shame and
Yeah.
responsibility for putting themselves in those situations. And I think Sherry feels that same way here. I think that
Because
she.
she was having an affair. She wasn't even out getting targeted. She was having this sort of
And
emotional
she
affair with
kind
him.
of put herself in this
Yeah.
position. Now, if we take with what she's saying is true, that, you know, maybe she went with James, you know, maybe she went with him just to get away, but she didn't plan to be abducted for 22 days and probably raped and tortured and starved and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, of course she's going to feel weird about being part of the lie, being part of the reason and
Yeah,
responsibility for
right.
what this happened to her, whether or not it was her responsibility about what happened to her, but there is a little bit of that onus there. And so she lied about who it was, but she never really lied about the incident itself. Like, the incident itself never really changed. It just, who was involved kind of changed. She describes the room
Yeah.
exactly as it was. You know, she was gone for 22 days. She has explanations for this, but it's
Yeah.
very complicated because they are part of the responsibility, but they're also not. It's
Yeah, and I
such a
was,
complicated thing.
of course it is. And yeah, I would add too, the shame of that is also maybe a little bit like, oh, am I going to incriminate myself? Like if I say I was part of this, will I
If I
go to
say I
jail
was
for
drunk,
20
or
years?
if that
Yeah.
I was flirting with the guy, you know, and
Right.
I think that's what her point was. She's like, A, she feared for her life. She says that she does because of James, but also like, well, he didn't stalk me. I kind of like invited, he knew where I lived because I told him, you know, like
And he
I
knew where I
flirted
was going
with
to be
him.
running that morning. Yeah.
He knew because I let him do that, and I didn't let him rape me or capture me for 22 days, but everything leading up to that circumstance I did allow. And so
Yeah.
of course she was like, who's gonna fucking believe me? Of course
Yeah,
she
of
said that to
course. Yeah.
herself. How do you not think that, you
Yeah.
know?
So as we move through the second episode, basically, they go to her arraignment for this plea deal. They went back
Yeah.
and forth for a while about the words. She wouldn't sign certain parts of this plea deal. Ultimately, she did, however, sign the story that said it was a hoax and that she did all of this to herself, but it did not include the wording that she inflicted the wounds and harm upon herself. She was very specific about that. But she did sign a story that says this was all a
That I
hoax,
did
which
lie and this
Yeah,
was a
that she did
hoax. This
lie. Yeah.
wasn't what I said that it was. And I think that that is truthful.
Yeah.
I do believe her. And
Yeah.
I think that that is really sort of important. And it's also important to note that, so kind of at the end of this episode, and I don't know if you were
Yeah.
going to talk about this, but Sherry's lawyer meets with Keith to talk about the arraignment, and it kind of leaks accidentally that Sherry had these burner phones. I guess Sherry never
Right.
told him about the
Told
burner
him,
phones.
yeah.
So Keith is fucking furious, and he goes to Sherry and he hides, and she actually hides
She
like a
hides it, yeah.
recording device under the bed because she's really scared about what he's gonna say. That to me is a tell. And I guess this is sort of the
Good
first
point.
time we ever get to see Keith being brutally honest, thinking that there's no cameras around or whatever, talking to his ex-wife at this point, or wife or whatever, and he's
Whatever,
trying
yeah.
to get her to c sign a contract to get full custody of the children, which she won't sign. But the way that he's treating her and acting like her, very threatening, to me gives credibility to her story because he didn't know he was being recorded. So that was his true
That's a
self.
very good point, and I did not think about that in that episode, because what would her motivation be if he was going to say something incriminating towards her in that regard? You know, this was, in my opinion, yeah, her trying to hopefully get some evidence from him that he was abusive and controlling. Yeah.
Yeah, so this leads us into
Yeah,
episode
take us into
three, and
episode three.
called Multiple Truths. And basically, we pick up right where we are. And she wants to reiterate, Cher's main point is that her kid, she wasn't considered an unfit mother. Her kids were not taken from her because she was considered an unfit mother or bad or abusive. Her kids were actually stolen from her husband, who demanded full custody. And he was the one who worked, so he had a lot of the control. And he got custody because she was going to prison.
Right, there's
You know,
that too.
so
Because simply because she lied
it's
to the FBI.
right. And I'm
Yeah.
not saying that's not her fault, right? I
Right, of
think
course
she
not.
does have blame for that, but she wasn't considered an unfit mother. It's not like,
Right.
she wasn't neglectful of them. So her lying to the FBI is kind of a separate issue of her being like a good mother to her
Apparent, yeah,
kids.
exactly.
Like it is, even though, yeah, so he
Yeah.
shouldn't have lied to the FBI. Again, if there's reasons to do it, then it is kind of important. So November of 2022, Sherry begins her sentence in federal prison for 18 months. She kind of, what I loved about this part of the doc is they interviewed some of her sort of jail friends, and she
Yeah.
ends up befriending a bunch of these women in prison. And she hires
That's right.
these lawyers, Kinney and Kinney, these family lawyers, to represent her in her divorce from Keith. And this is the
Right.
lawyer that talked about her
Right.
own sexual abuse on the boat, and so could really see something in
Right.
Sherry. And, you know, the point of these lawyers is that she lied in court. She's no one's going to believe a liar. Like, she lied to the FBI. She has absolutely no fucking credibility. Anything this woman says, that's always the linchpin in any litigation, right? Like, if you
Yeah.
can prove someone's lying about this, well, what wouldn't they lie about? They could lie about
Or
anything.
if they are lying about one thing, then everything else must be a lie, which is, of course, not true
Or
either.
how could you possibly believe it beyond a reasonable
Yeah.
doubt? Because she's lying about this. And so she serves 10 months, she gets out of prison. She moves in with her parents. And this is where they talk about a little bit of her past, that it does seem a
Yeah.
little odd that this would kind of come out of nowhere and we sort of learn. And it's very fuzzy. They don't say who. Even the parents don't say who, but it turns out that Sherry was sexually assaulted when she was young. I believe she describes it as like kind of the early,
Teen
like teen
years, double digit
years,
years, I
double
think she
digit years. I want to say
says.
10, 11,
She
you know.
does specifically say it wasn't her mom or her father.
Correct, but the guy was caught by her father.
By her father, and she said, or maybe it was her mother that said, the family was torn apart. So you get the sense, like, I will say
That
this,
it might be a family member.
which it does, statistically speaking, almost 90%, I don't know what the number is, it's extremely high of the time. It is a family member or close friend of the family member that has done that, which is really horrible.
Which would also give credence to her
Her
acting this
behavior.
way and her
Yeah.
behavior and her
Yeah.
trauma. And this episode really does focus on, there's not so much details here except that it's focusing on her therapy. She has
Yeah.
really no memory of getting in the back of James's vehicle. And so the producers ask her to kind of reenact getting kidnapped in the hopes that this is sparking what happened to her. This is sort of like immersion therapy. And so this entire episode is her trying, you know, recreating the run that she had that day. Seeing what happened, and you can tell she's really visibly upset and
I
cannot go through
know.
it, that it doesn't seem like she's acting to me.
No, and I mean, you know, I think the retired FBI agent from the first two episodes, we don't see her a ton throughout the last two. You know, she talks about Sherry's initial in interviews with the investigators, where she seems to be so upset, but you don't see any tears. And okay, I kind of understand that. If you don't see tears, maybe that means something. But in these recreations with the production company that made this documentary, you see her running right up to the moment where she potentially would recreate what could happen. And by the way, we should also mention it's such a great, this episode is so great because you hear her therapist in a confessional in the interview conversation say the best way to figure that out would be to have her recreate it. It's not going to be easy. And if something really traumatic truly happened, it's going to be very difficult for her. And you do see her get right up to the moment where it's like, okay, here's your moment. It's time to recreate it. And she has a complete breakdown. I mean, she's sobbing on camera. She can't even look at the camera. She's crying so hard that she says that she doesn't even want to do it. So if we take what the psychotherapist is saying as scientific evidence, that corroborates that, yeah, she may have been so traumatized and or attacked so brutally that she does simply not remember getting into the car or being attacked.
Yeah, and I think even the therapist sort of made the point of like, why would she lie about this? Like getting it, like the story hasn't changed. Like she could just
Yeah.
easily get in the car and
Right.
still her story
And
would could still be
nothing's
that she was
different.
tortured or
Right.
whatever. So it's like
Right.
this is clearly a really huge reaction
Yeah.
that's going down with Sherry Pepini, and like this is serious. Some this
Yeah,
is
and
not this is not a hoax. This is
I want
not.
100%, and I want to go back briefly about the sexual assault that she so, in my opinion, bravely brought up on camera. Imagine having to deal to talk about that, but then to do so in such a setting. The therapist really went in, and he's like, "I'm not trying to blame the parents about the sexual assault. Of course, that's not them." But what happened to her and the neglect of her treatment after they knew that this happened? Basically, this therapist says, I wish I would have gotten exactly what he says, but he's like, everything that happened from that point forward, because she was a child, is the fault of the parents. And that
It's
was the
certainly the
first time.
responsibility. I mean, you can't just
Yeah.
wish it away, you know, and that also
Right.
makes, and you could tell in the interviews with the parents that obviously there was a lot of shame around that too.
Oh,
And
for
it was clearly
sure.
someone that they knew, and I felt like they were still protecting, and Sherry was
That,
doing it too, like protecting that
yeah,
person.
you're
And
right.
maybe there's tons of reasons for that. I'm not saying that they needed to say it,
Of
but
course.
in that, it sort of felt like in sort of even now, years later, not knowing how to talk about it, I don't think they
Yeah.
talked about it then.
And by the way, let's also say this. Maybe people don't know how to talk about those things.
Yeah.
No one goes through that kind of like boot camp, how to talk to you about your daughter being sexually assaulted. Like, I understand that. I understand why families don't do it. But in order to inform and educate, I think, a public, it is important to say, well, the reason that this, you know,
Yeah.
her adolescence and then eventually her early adulthood happened the way it did is because she wasn't treated for the trauma of what that is. And I hate to say this because I've brought this up before in other episodes, but someone I know very, very close to me was sexually assaulted as a child. And so many of these things, I have to tell you, all the way up through this episode, I was like, oh, this sounds exactly like my friend who was
It's a
sexually
domino
assaulted,
effect,
you
especially
know?
if you don't, you know, if sort of like this, especially if it was a person that they perhaps trusted, you
Right.
know, and the family's kind of trying to sweep it under the rug a little bit. I mean,
Right.
as a child, not knowing who to trust, I mean, that's going to affect you in so many different ways. And of course
Or
you're
how
going
to
to lie.
process,
It's like
yeah.
you're protecting yourself from trauma, so you
Right.
don't have to deal with it. That's sort of classic Psych 101. And
Right.
you know, we're sort of getting more of the human side of Sherry and a little bit more explanation of how this is going down. And so that leads us into episode four called It's Complicated.
Of all things.
Yeah.
Why don't you walk us through this? 'Cause I feel
Sure.
like this is a I just feel like you're gonna grasp this a little bit
Yeah.
better, maybe, than I did.
So the start of the episode, you know, Sherry's kind of giving the background of the relationship with James. She's staying at a
Right.
friend's house now. She talks about being a huge crafter. She crafts in October because she makes a lot of her gifts. This was something sort of known. She even, you know, she talks about having everything in the house and even shows this wood burning tool that she spoke about with James, that
Right,
she would
right.
make these custom coasters with people's names and initials on them. So they had talked about this tool, which I also thought was really interesting.
Me
And,
too, yeah.
you know, she said she was with James for 22 days. She remembers waking up in the back of the vehicle, but falling back asleep, wakes up with him dragging her into his apartment, refuses to kiss him. She wakes up naked, chained to a wall. And he said he does this to keep her safe and until she realizes that she doesn't want to be with Keith anymore. And he drugs her so she can't fully remember, or at least this is what she's saying. You know,
This
this
is
is all
her, yeah,
alleged.
recollection. Yep.
And it's important to note that she says that when she had sex with him, she convinced him. See, this is the part of the consent, right? Like, she says that when she had sex with him against her will, because she didn't want to have sex with him, she did convince him to ejaculate on the outside of her so she wouldn't get pregnant. And to her point, she's like, is there consent in that?
Yeah, it's
And by law, there probably is
yeah.
consent in that. But when your only thing is, it's going to happen to me anyway, so how do I get out of this? How do I pretend to have this rapist think that I like it so that
Right.
way I can walk away alive?
Right. It's
I mean,
horrifying. It's
that's
horrifying.
horrifying, but there's consent in that by law. And so that's what's really tragic, you know. But the documentarians are actually talking to her parents now, and they ask her point blank, like, do you believe Sherry? Like, what do you think happened? And they
Right.
basically said they don't think that it was a kidnapping, but that they really do see it as sort of an escape from her marriage. Not that she wasn't abused, because I think they do think that she was abused, but that it wasn't necessarily a kidnapping, that she
Yeah.
went with him, perhaps not knowing what was going to go down. And I probably believe that as well. And they
Yeah.
want her to take a polygraph test. So this was 6 months ago, December of 2024. Sherry takes a polygraph test. And it's this whole long thing, all these questions that are happening in Paris. And essentially, she is believed by the polygraph taker to have feared she couldn't leave without the threat of violence. And she did not ask James to brand her so that she was held captive against her will.
Right.
Now,
Well, before we move on, I just want to mention we've talked so much on the show and others that we've done, Darren, about polygraph tests and their credibility in a court. Were you thinking that ahead of this part of the
Well, this is
episode?
what I
Because I
wanted to say,
was.
because polygraph tests, to his point, the polygraph guy says,
Yeah.
like, we don't really test, you're not really testing if something happened. You're testing whether someone has a significant response or not. In
Right.
theory, you can beat a lie detector test because you could train yourself over and over and over again. I mean, like, I feel like army
Good
people
point.
do
Yeah.
this when they're tortured, that they just have like
Right.
laser
Tunnel
focus on
vision.
what they
Yeah.
need to do when they've tempered their heart. You know, you can obviously, you can kind of control what happens to you biologically, but it's probably really hard to do. And when you're lying, you do have extra levels of whatever's going on in there. So
Right.
here's what, so I think it's important. And I think for this case, it's important because this seemed just like a really big realization for Sherry. First off, she felt relief to know that the guy believed her, that she was held against her will, and that she did not ask to be branded. But he does say that she had a significant response, meaning she wasn't fully telling the truth, or her body showed that she probably wasn't telling the truth, that she did have plan the trip with James, and so that it wasn't a kidnapping. And Sherry says that when she was asked that question, she was thinking about her leading him on and to keep him interested. And she led him to believe she was going to go down to this place. And so she thought that she was sort of responsible for it. You know,
Right.
so I think that's what her response was kind of happening. And then he said, of course, that there were a few responses in this lie detector test that were muted. Basically, that the significant response was so high that it kind of mutes every other thing,
Right.
because then to get back to your levels, you can't really tell what's truthful and not. So,
Yeah.
as the guy says, sometimes people still lie and they're also still a victim. And truly,
Yeah.
that's what I believe is going on here.
Yeah.
So it turns out that years prior, in August of 2020, a few years after this incident happened, 3 days actually before Sherry's final interview with law enforcement, James also took a polygraph test. This was
Which
years
I thought was
ago.
fascinating. I was like, what?
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, he passed every question, which is important to know, but those questions didn't necessarily address the abuse that went down, but mostly the picking her up. He did say that she asked to be branded, and he passed that. But Sherry's point is that James is a psychopath, and perhaps after, you know, with enough time, 4 years after, he's convinced himself that she wanted it. You know,
Right.
that like maybe he's such a psychopath
Yeah,
that being
yeah.
like, no, she wanted to sleep with me. She led me on. You know, like you
Yeah.
can convince yourself of a lot of these things. And that's sort of what I think is going on here.
Yeah, and just to be clear, just to clarify here, basically they were both asked the same question and both were truthful in their responses, where
Right.
the other person was to blame for the branding. So
Right. So she wasn't lying
essentially,
either,
yeah,
and
so
neither was
essentially
he.
somebody
So,
is, but the polygraph, I guess, didn't pick up exactly what that could have been, but.
yeah. And I think Sherry kind of sums this up nicely that she says, you know, there wasn't a hoax, there was a cover up of what happened, and she participated
Right.
in the cover up, which is
Right.
true.
To protect her ability to be with her children, by the way, is what she's saying.
Well, she says, like, it's really a question of values, and that's what it comes down to for me. What's
Yeah.
more valuable to you? Lying to law enforcement or
Yeah.
feeling like you never get to see your fucking children again? Like,
Yeah, she says that. It's amazing point.
now what's weird is sort of in this last twist of the final episode, and you alluded to this
Yeah.
before, at the
Yeah.
end, a prior private investigator was sort of hired by these documentarians, and it turns out that James's mother, who she claimed was Hispanic, is actually Irish. And, you know, she was like, I don't give a fuck what they
Yeah.
say about it. Now, it's James's
She's like, I
version
don't
of.
care. She's like, I met her twice.
Right. I mean, in theory, maybe she thought she was
Well,
Hispanic and
I was
Irish.
gonna
I mean, I don't
say,
know. I mean,
well,
that
if
doesn't
she's
necessarily
I,
say anything.
no, it doesn't. And if, you know, I will say, if this documentary really wanted to make a point, they
Show
should
a
have maybe
picture.
included a picture of her, because just because you're, I, by the way, let me just say this. One of my friends, who is a very dark-skinned black man, recently did a 23andMe, and guess what? He's 70% Irish genetically. So you can be Irish and appear and present as a fully black man
Right.
in the world. So what does it mean to say that she's Irish? You know, that was one thing I didn't like about this particular
And I
documentary.
wonder if they just didn't have permission to show her picture,
Well, I'm
but
sure. Or they didn't want to, because then they're sort of going
well,
against the
yeah,
point.
because the
I'll tell you what, I'm going to be looking it up. I'm going to be looking up James's, I don't know his last name, but.
well, it's important that this doc sort of ends, you know, it's James's version against hers. And
Yeah.
I will say it's interesting that Sherry's still good friends with Keith's sister.
Good
And
point.
it
Yep.
makes me think about women in general and how we treat them and
Oh,
how we
yeah.
treat their trauma, specifically women. And that unless you're the perfect victim, you get raped and it's not your fault. And you were sober walking by and someone grabs you and rapes you and you go immediately to the police, you're not believed. But
Right.
somehow, if you had a few drinks, you were at a bar, or you go home with someone because you genuinely want to sleep with them, but they end up raping you.
Right.
Is that consent? You know,
Right.
like, I think there's a lot we need to have more of a heavier discussion on what's
In
going on here
society, I agree with
in society, in here, on podcasts, between friends.
you. Right.
I think it's important to note that.
Oh, 100%. And I will add one other thing. So, you know, she goes to jail, gets convicted, has to have a plea deal for lying to the FBI. But let's not forget, James also lied to the FBI before his story changed, and he didn't go to jail, and no one that wasn't even brought up in this documentary, really. I mean, I was surprised to see that they didn't kind of harp on that more, but he was lying there for like what, the first hour of that conversation. So if you turn your story around at that point as a man, you're allowed to not be charged with lying
Well,
to the FBI or what?
and also, like, good point with that. You know, again, he wasn't really under investigation. So, yes, his story changed, but they can't necessarily tie him against force because she is the considered a liar, you know, that they know for sure that she's the liar.
Right.
But it does sort of make you, it does, you know, it makes you kind of wonder, like, when you brand someone this way, like, so does anything matter that she says? And for those who are very skeptical of her, which I'm not saying
Yeah,
don't be skeptical of
let's
her.
talk
There's a
about that.
reason to
Yeah.
be skeptical. There's
Yeah, for sure.
100% a reason to be skeptical. But if you believe nothing that she says, right? And she planned all of this and used all these resources, lost her kids.
Right.
I don't, what's the point of doing that? And also, like, she's gonna have a tough road ahead of her. And now she doesn't have her kids and she's been sexually assaulted in her life. She hasn't been believed by the entire nation. It's not an easy
Right.
life to keep listen. It's not a keep. It's not an easy life to keep going through that. And let's say on the flip side, you do believe her. Like, this is what happened, and this is she did lie, but she is a victim. I mean, to me, it's not that I feel better about believing her, but I definitely think there's more people on the side of. lying for a reason because they fear for their life, then there are
Yeah.
people who are being like, let me just see what kind of drama I can get into with absolutely no fucking gain on my end. It's not like I'm a
Right.
millionaire. She went to
Right.
prison. She was embarrassed. She lost custody of her kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
She was
like,
emaciated. I mean,
she was emaciated. She was beaten. I just like, I don't really see what's in it for her to do
yeah,
this.
what does
And
she
even
gain
if
from
it's
that?
attention, okay, but her life now is now super fucking hard for wanting that attention. And I think there's just so many more
Yeah.
people on the side of I was raped or beaten or tortured, and I'm scared to be honest because I'm scared of for my life. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think that happens a bit. I think that happens a bit. That was essentially what the entire Me Too movement was about.
Right, exactly. That's a very good point. I'll say this, for me, the two things that are the biggest pieces that I feel I'm really believing Sherry for the most part. Number one, the boarding up of that man's windows. I
Yeah.
just don't think you do that unless you have intentions to keep her from jumping out of the window. I don't think it has anything to do with the darkness. And then number two, the images of her body beaten and bruised. Let's say she wanted all of that. Still illegal to be doing all that, to be inflicting that kind of harm. You can't say, yeah, I would like for someone to shoot me in the face and say, oh, well, they asked to be shot in the face, so the other person shouldn't be, charged with something here. Okay, yes, intent is a big part of that, but those types of bruises and that kind of abuse, I just can't imagine any scenario where that's like, it's so significant. It's not one or two little things here or there. Like, people can get freaky deaky, and sometimes things like that happen. That can be your thing, your kink. This is not that. This is very clear, prolonged abuse, and that's what
And
really kind of keeps it in my
I mean, I
head,
think of
if that makes
Cassie in the P.
sense.
Diddy case right now. I mean, she dated
Great
him.
point.
She
Yes.
went back
Yes.
to him. She signed a fucking settlement agreement.
Waiver.
She
Yeah, yeah,
signed
yeah.
whatever. And then we saw the picture of her in the hotel being beaten out of shit.
Right.
Did she want that? Is that consensual? But are you
Yeah.
continuing to date him? Like,
Is he
anyone
off
that
the
thinks that
hook?
P. Diddy
Yeah.
is like right in this and doesn't really believe Sherry Papini, I feel like has kind of a moral quandary to get to.
Good
Why
point.
would we not really believe her? I mean, and I'm a trust but verify person. I don't necessarily we should just automatically believe anyone just because they say anything. Trust them and then verify. I think Sherry is telling the as best a version of the truth as she can possibly
As
tell
she
right
knows,
now.
yeah, exactly.
But I don't think that those 22 days she was consenting to anything.
And the emaciation, and it's just too many things that just. And by the way, not that we're experts. I was talking to someone about this earlier. Not that Darren and I are experts. However, Darren, this is, I believe, our 450th true crime episode. When
Yeah.
you think about our previous show, and we both have worked in true crime extensively. We've told stories, we've produced stories. There are patterns and behaviors that I, unfortunately, and Darren, I'm sure you as well, can pick out. In
Yeah.
fact, like I was just saying, that sexual abuse thing, Darren, I had texted you before we recorded tonight. I was like, did you finish the doc? I have a thought. And what I didn't tell you was, after that, I realized it was sexual abuse that she went through, which was running through my head for the first three episodes until she got it.
And
So this is not to say,
that's a big thing.
yeah,
You
of
know,
course.
that's a really important nugget, and I think explains a little bit why people will sometimes do anything to protect themselves because
Exactly, yeah.
that trauma is just too much to bear. And yeah.
Well, we did ask you guys if you wanted to weigh in on this on both Patreon and on Facebook. I know someone had posted about this earlier. We'll get to that in a second. Jamie, a friend of mine and a huge fan of the show, says after she's, I think, a little bit more against Sherry. She says after the second documentary, I'm assuming she means this one, I was even more disturbed. Blaming her ex and now ex-husband is the only move she had, and it's not working out at all. She's not believable at all. So to your point, Darren, there are people that sort of think of it differently.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you reap what you sow too. I think she's probably highly aware that because she lied, there's always going to be people saying that. I am not of that philosophy, at least with this one, at least what I could see. I could be proven wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think we should encourage people to lie. I don't think that's a good thing. I definitely think we should create an environment under which You go to the police about whatever you're feeling, and you're feeling this way, and there's some sort of way to protect you. But I sort of really do understand lying. I sort of
Yeah, I
understand that
do
I have
too.
empathy for that, and I'm not saying it's right, but I do think there's like a valid explanation for it.
Sandy in Facebook says, Sandy, who is, I believe, also the same Sandy that's a Patreon member, says, Sherry Papini is about as credible as Casey Anthony. I think you mentioned this, Darren. What do
Yeah.
y'all think? Rachel on our Facebook group says, this documentary confuses me, but even the mom said she wasn't kidnapped. She was just unhappy. They can all be terrible, and she can be a liar. All right.
That's also true. I mean,
Yeah.
truthfully, anything's kind of possible. It's a he said, she said. I mean, anything's kind of possible here. As credible as Casey Anthony, sure. And you know what I took away from the Casey Anthony doc is that Casey Anthony wasn't innocent, but she wasn't guilty. And I think that's what Sherry Papini is. I don't think Sherry
Yeah.
Papini is innocent, but I don't think she's guilty either. I
Yeah.
think they're both victims and lied and created a
And lied
situation
about it.
under
Yeah,
which
I
that they weren't
agree.
going to be believed. But I also think it's very interesting that both of those cases are women.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you.
And it's not always gendered, but I do think that like men can't really, claim the same sort of abuse. I mean, I'm not going to compare it to Scott Peterson because that's not the same because he was the abuser. But if like
No, but
men were
it's,
abused,
yeah.
or like Casey Anthony wasn't not abused, and Sherry Papini wasn't not abused either. I just think it's very interesting that sometimes these things happen with Amber Heard. These things kind of happen with women that, again, unless you're sort of this perfect victim, you have no credibility. And God, I hope we don't live in a world like that because then I feel like I can never fuck up and I'm going to
Right.
fuck up because I'm a human being and I hope I'm never in that situation, God forbid. But yeah, I
Right.
hope I do everything right. And to ask someone to do everything right when they're being assaulted in any sort of way is a
Yeah,
really
exactly.
tall, tall order.
That's a
Really
great way to
tall
put it.
order. Yeah.
Well, that's our recap of Sherry Papini caught in the lie. You can go watch it right now on Max and let us know what you think about our thoughts, the case itself. Do you believe her? We want to hear from you at J Thrasher at Carpe Darren. Of course, we have our Facebook group you can join. You can also, of course, message us, and there is a thread on Patreon right now if you want to go chat with others about it. And we could do some follow-up in a future episode to see what you guys
Yeah,
think.
I'd kind of like to do a group chat.
I would
I
love to
feel like
hear
should
that.
do like a
Yeah.
little video to
Yeah.
prompt people to talk about this and hopefully DM us and we can read some on a future episodes because I definitely think this is worth discussing as more people are watching it.
I agree. Lastly, if you want your episodes early, including a week early for some in some cases, you can sign up for Patreon for as little as $5 a month, or even cheaper if you sign up annually. And all of your support helps keep this show going. We got to pay Megan to do her amazing research whenever we have regular episodes. We got to keep our lights on. We got to keep the podcast going. It's a whole
Snoopy
thing.
fed, magic
Snoopy
fed.
fed magic definitely needs fed. Yeah, that's for sure. But Darren, thank you so much for this enlightening conversation. I'll just tell
It's a
you,
good doc.
take care, and of course, don't forget, brush your hair.
It feels weird to end on what I normally end on after this because
I
I'm more
know, don't do
contemplative
that.
than normal.
Yeah, you
So I'm
are.
just going to say,
There
be open-minded.
you go. Love
Yeah.
it. And stay tuned for a potential new series on Patreon called Darren's
Snoopy's thoughts with,
Thoughts
yes.
with Darren, where
Snoopy shallow thoughts,
there you
yes.
go, with Darren taking a walk with Snoopy, and maybe you'll see that on Patreon in the coming weeks. All right,
My
guys, take care.
baby, she's
Oh,
on her
your
back right now,
baby.
sleeping. She's sleeping on her back right now with her
We love it.
coin purse exposed. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. See you guys next time. Bye bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.